Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Dan Dunn is coming out and hanging out with us. We'll get into some libations. The news is coming as well. I'm fired up. First, J.B. Weld. J.B. Weld's a proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show. The epoxy adhesive brand used by both pros and experienced DIYers is well trusted for over 50 years. Available at jbweld.com and everywhere. AutoZone, O'Reilly, Walmart, Michaels, Amazon, Home Depot. It's J.B. Weld.
Corolla Drinks fans, 818 Rye Whiskey is available now at CorollaDrinks.com. 818 is a whiskey from Adam's backyard, not the gated communities in the same area code. It's aged 3 years in new American oak and couples a malty sweetness with a complex rye finish. Adam and the team made this whiskey for fans of the show. They made this whiskey for the regulars. Get your bottle of 818 Rye at CorollaDrinks.com. Hurry, we will sell out.
Dan Dunn has joined us. He's a journalist. He's a spirit expert. And he's got a podcast, What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, available wherever you get your podcast. And a hell of a writer. I've read his first book. Nothing to do with booze, per se, or something to do with booze, but just a hell of a journalist. Dan Dunn, good to see you, Dan.
It has a little bit to do. It has to do with my tragic life that led me to drinking. Yeah,
yes.
That's what it is. Yeah. So, how you doing, guys?
Good. We're all doing well. Yeah, good
to see you. Cool to be back in the studio.
Yeah, what agreed.
A special moment this feels like to me. Yeah,
we should toast to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I brought some stuff. I mean, we've been doing this the last 13 months or so over Zoom, and that has some benefits to it, obviously, you know, pants and stuff like that. But so over the course of the last year, I figure we probably have had about 50 different liquors that we've tried.
I'll buy that.
About right.
And so in honor of getting back into the studio, back on with life, I thought, let me bring in 5 of the best spirits that we had during this whole quarantine that we enjoyed together over Zoom, 5 different spirits categories. So I have a gin, a tequila, a rum, a bourbon, and a scotch.
Ooh.
Okay?
Sweet.
We're going to rate these things. Okay. We're going to rate these spirits. We're going to declare a winner here. We'll call this a tournament of tippling. We're going to rate these things on – this is the following criteria we're going to use here. Taste, mixability, packaging, price, coolness factor. I'll throw out – so I'll give you some information, some tidbits. I'll tell you some stuff about the packaging and all that too. And on a scale of 1 to 5. So 25 is the maximum for each spirit. And there we go. That's how we're going to do this. All right. So you guys want to get right to the drinking?
Let's do it.
Is this what we're going to do? All right.
What's the definition of tippling?
Tipple is to drink, to tipple.
Yeah. Oh, it's to tipple.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah. To tipple is to drink.
I'm always hesitant when someone comes up with something that's clever that no one gets. Because on one hand, it's still clever, but if no one gets it, tippling.
Tippling.
All right, tournament of
tournament
tippling.
Of tippling. So first up, we're going to go with a gin. And this is a gin that is familiar to the crew here. We've got Ford's gin made by our friend Simon Ford. I'm going to pour myself
now,
a little bit.
Now, you got
here.
A dump cup, so don't dump. Don't. Yeah. I hate when people waste anything. So just give a little splash there, Gina. Because the dump cup, I'm going to make Max Pat drink that on his ride home.
Harry Buffalo.
Commit to it.
So Ford's, of course, is made is the product of our friend Simon Ford, who is the inventor of the Better Man cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
Made with Adam Carolla's very own Mangria. The gin itself is made by a 10th generation distiller whose family has been making gin since 1680. So now we're tasting this neat. We're not going to have it in any. That's how you have to do it. At room temperature, we're tasting it neat in a Glencairn glass, which is specially designed to taste. So we're going to get a little nose on here. Now, remember, gin is not a spirit that you're normally going to be drinking neat.
Right.
But in order to really evaluate the flavor, we got to do this. So,
but I tell you, gin is definitely one of those spirits you have to mature into. As you get a little older, much like cigars and pussy, you start to – stuff that was yucky when you were 11.
Cancerous to the mouth.
Yeah. You start to kind of get into it,
right.
You know? And at a certain point, you go full – Michael Douglas.
Well, gin is certainly, in terms of, you know, one of the categories we have here is mixability. I mean, gin is the foundation of so many great cocktails. Simon created this gin specifically so it tastes good in classic, like the gin and tonic, the martini, the Tom Collins, gimlets. Took this out to bartenders, got them to try it when they were in their development stages, got them to try it with different cocktails, got notes from over 100 bartenders, and that's how they developed the flavor profile of this gin. Now, the packaging is one of the most user-friendly and functional bottles on the market. Brian's got it right there. It's lightweight, fits into a speed rail, holds on to the pour snugly. And these are things that seem obvious, but you'd be shocked at how many bottles don't take that into account. There's no foil around the cap. It makes it really easy and to open quickly.
Oh, goddamn foil around the cap.
I
don't know if I sound like an alcoholic, but I find myself like getting out a penknife, like struggling. I had some wine the other day. They had the full wax dip. Mm-hmm. I fought it for like 20 minutes.
Carve it.
I'm gonna stab myself. And then at some point, all the chunks of wax, I sort of did it over the sink, you know, and then they're all into the sink, and it's
that.
A shit show. But yeah, there's a lot that have the shrink wrap, and I'm not sure where to start. And you end up poking at it with the scissors.
Slice your hand open.
Yeah, this is nice.
The wax makes me, especially on wine, I mean, it really makes me crazy. Because not only do you have to get the wax off it, then you got to pop the cork.
Yeah, now the work starts.
Yeah, what's going on?
And then you got that weird jagged wax edge going around it. Okay.
So we got the mixability, the packaging we covered. The price on this is $25. That's what it costs for a bottle of this. Now, gin generally isn't you know, more expensive like on the scale of whiskey or whatnot. So, and then in terms of coolness factor, like I said, I mean, Simon, guy who created a drink for Ace, 10th Distillery, the guy's been family's been making gin since 1680. And this is a top 10 brand in the top 50 bars in the world. So in the top 50 bars in the world, which is an actual thing, they release the list every year, this is one of the top 10 brands carried in those bars.
What I'm basing that on as a layperson is, for coolness factor, how cool would I feel bringing this bottle to a party? That's my way of.
All right.
The mixability, we kind of have to guess at, obviously, although, Dan, it's a bit of a cheat for me because I love the Ford's gin, the bottle you gave us, you know, way back when. I mix it all the time. It's delicious.
Yeah. It's a great gin for any gin cocktail that you make, and there are more of them, I think, than most other cocktails, at least that I enjoy. So that's our Ford's gin, and now, Ace, I'm going to dump this. I apologize. I'm actually going to rinse my glass with a little water. Mm. I recommend you guys do that too, just to get that gin out of there. And now we're going to dump
at least drink the fucking water. Jesus Christ, just dump the gin water out.
It's our most precious resource, Dan.
There are children.
Well, seriously, we're in a drought.
Children going to bed sober in Africa. And look what I'm doing here. Okay, next up, we got a tequila.
I drank the gin water.
This is the 2020 Tequila Ocho Plata Rancho La Loma. Okay, Tequila Ocho, we had this
on
the show.
You're Mexican. Jesus
we
Christ.
Go.
That's the full name.
There you go, Gina.
Thank you.
There we go. This is a gin that we had on the show, I think, about 6 or 7 months ago.
This is tequila, sorry.
Excuse me, tequila, yeah. They use overripe agave in this one, which is extremely unusual. It gives it a slight sweetness. You won't notice when you're tasting other tequilas. I think that was something that Brian pointed out when we had this on the show before. You're going to get the grapefruit on here, the menthol pepper.
Ooh.
Very balanced, fruity, a really great gin. This is one of the tequilas that's committed the idea of terroir exists.
Yeah. Sometimes you're going between gin and tequila.
Gin. I keep saying gin.
That's
I mean
right.
tequila. It's because I had gin. Tequila.
What's the alcohol on that's 40 and the first one was 40% content?
Oh. Yeah. So this is going to taste great in a margarita, a Paloma, a tequila old fashioned.
Technically, this is 90 proof, so it's 45%.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Price on this is $45. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is the world's first single. If we're talking about coolness factor, this is the world's first single estate tequila. Each vintage is harvested. This is a 2020 vintage from a single field. Meaning vintage to vintage, you're going to get variations in the taste of the tequila, which is unusual. Most brands strive for uniformity in their taste.
Mm-hmm.
This was created by – I don't know if this is going to tip this at all – created by a legendary tequilero named Carlos Camarena and a guy named Tomas Estes, who just died.
I knew it.
A week ago. Yeah, just died a week ago. I don't know if that tilts it, but he passed away with his family last Sunday. This is a grower-producer tequila. That means the brand owns the agave fields. That's also unusual, from which they use to create this tequila. I love it.
It's very good. It's more of a sipping tequila, though. Would you mix this? Would you
mix sure. this? Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, one of the drinks that I was thinking about was the El Diablo, which is a highball with tequila, creme de cassis, and lime juice. Really, really good with this. Put a little ginger beer on top.
Oh, I might still be thinking about the goat milk, but I'm almost finding something buttery in this.
Yeah.
I love it. This would turn me, as my friends would say, this would turn me into tequila right quick. Yeah, this is delicious.
The texture on that is really good. And it's almost got a mezcal-like feel to it, right? Okay, so we're getting our scores on this thing. It's just – oh, boy.
It's good.
All right. What do you think of the packaging?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's probably getting
a little lower mark. And
it looks like a wine bottle, I think. Yeah.
And again, $45 is the price on that. And we're going to go there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next up, we got to rinse our glasses here. We got some rum. A rum that we had on almost a year ago, I believe. And it's over here. There we go. We had this at Christmas. That's right. We did have this at Christmas. Dos Medeiros. Medeiros with an A. Dos Medeiros with an A. 5 and 3 is the name of this rum. Let me pour myself some. Pass it on over to you, Gina. Mm-hmm. There we go. Don't pour too much. You'll get in trouble. Okay. The taste on this, you get ripe fruit. You get some tropical spice, smoky oak, tobacco on the finish.
I remember this. This is really excellent.
Yeah.
We'll be the judge of that.
Mixability. You can do this with a Mai Tai. You could do it with an old fashioned. Would be great for this rum, I think.
Oh, really? An old fashioned? I didn't know you did rum in an old fashioned.
Yeah, you could do it with that. We'd do it with sherry, banana liqueur. There's actually a recipe there, which I think would be delicious. You can do an old, almost any spirit with an old fashioned, really. Yeah, just swap them out.
That sounds so 50s. I want like a wedge salad with that. It's so 50s sounding.
Yeah. I want this in my eggnog.
Yeah.
You know, for Christmas time. This is exactly
what we
needs.
What we did? Did we do it with that?
We did one of them.
I think we did.
Sounds
familiar, but it all blurs together.
We were in a blackout. Well,
that was one of the nice things of the Zoom. You were like, we don't have to worry about anything. I'm just going to be able to get off this couch. The packaging, they recently changed the shape of the bottle for a more elegant look. It's sleeker. Hmm. The label incorporates all the important elements. There's a map on that label.
Was the previous bottle squattier?
I think it was, yeah. I think it was a little bit smaller than that. And what's cool about this thing is this is a combo of rums sourced from Barbados and Guyana. The distillery, the R.L. Seal Distillery in Barbados, is 260 years old. It spends 5 years in bourbon casks, then they ship it over to Jerez, Spain, put it in ex-sherry casks for 3 more years of what's called Solera aging.
I'm just picturing your great-great-great-great-grandson, keeping this gig going and going, White Claw has been around for almost 300 years. It's canned in Van Nuys, single family, the Budweiser family. Well, they bought it. Because eventually everything's going to be old, right?
They're going to be Mangria. Boy, yeah. Hundreds of years ago when Mangria was invented.
This has almost no note to it. Like I'm trying to inhale it. And it's not really coming up. I mean, I don't know if is that a rum thing?
You mean the flavor on it?
I'm just doing the note. I'm trying to
it's a little suck it up. I'm
not getting what I was getting out of the tequila and the gin. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I'm certainly
getting on. I smell something.
No, I agree with
not
you. The
coming
gin
through.
Is more effervescent, right? Like right. It's in your nose and the tequila too. But the
What was the price? Sorry,
the price on this one is $30. Again, the aging I think is what makes it cool. 5 years in ex bourbon, 3 years in sherry, and the fact that they age it in Spain and the Caribbean. Are you guys normally rum drinkers?
Not
only
normally.
Since you've come around.
Okay. Ever since me. All right. Well, I'm ruining you. Okay. Next up, an old favorite here.
Rum has like. I grew up with too many negative connotations. Like, he's an old rummy.
I've never heard that before.
Pirates drink rum.
Rummy?
Yeah, rummy.
Yeah.
Gin rummy?
Like they got the gin.
The wino,
blossoms. Drunk on the corner.
That's funny.
Though you'd be an old rummy, and then pirates drink rum, and it seemed a little dangerous.
I thought we were going with that. Our connotation from college is, I'll have a rum and Coke, rum and D.C.
Yeah.
Captain Morgan's.
Last time you guys drank this with a ginger beer.
Delish. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. My grandmother used to say when people were drunk, she would say they're rum soaked.
Oh, right.
That sexy. Guy's rum soaked.
I like that.
You know, the Italian grandfather, a lot of tiramisu with rum in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said other things. She said other things too, my old grandma in Philadelphia, and
you guys
we won't
get
discuss
together.
Those on the air. Okay. Next up, we got some bourbon, Rabbit Hole High Gold Bourbon. I don't remember when we had this on the show, but I do recall everybody really enjoying it, and I'm going to pass this over to you, Gina. You got it. Now, this one, definitely, I think you're going to get some stuff on the nose here. Adam, I'm getting coconut and some like soft spices.
Oh, this is on my bar.
Rabbit Hole.
It's a sharp-looking bottle.
It's a beautiful bottle. Yeah. Ooh, heavy pour bartender.
So they don't chill they don't chill filter this. We've talked about chill filtering before, which is where they try to remove, you know, sort of stuff out of the uh-huh. – it's basically a cosmetic procedure, but they don't chill filter this. And I think that's what really gives this that silky mouthfeel. Mm. You getting that? Yeah.
Wow.
That is
butterscotch, black pepper.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Kaveh Zamanian is the guy who makes it. He personally makes this mash bill. And this is there's a high concentration. As we know in bourbon, it has to be at least 51% corn in the mash bill. But then he has a very high rye amount in the mash bill as well. I believe it's 25% rye, which is high. And then 70% corn, 25 rye, 5 malted barley. This is 95 ABV.
Would you mix this?
Absolutely.
It tastes so smooth by itself.
It has that coconut vibe.
It's fantastic in a gold rush. You know the gold rush, lemon juice and honey. I mean, this is made – or a Kentucky mule, which is lime juice and ginger beer, the high gold. You do a pineapple sour with this. But, of course, all your classics too, the Sazerac, the old-fashioned, the Manhattan. Rye bourbon in a Manhattan, because you can do bourbon or rye in a Manhattan. But rye bourbon – it's just – it's so great for that. A bourbon with a high rye in the mash bill is really great in Manhattan.
Mm. And it's my favorite so far.
This is really good stuff.
I actually give it a 6 on taste.
Price is – what are we talking about here?
70.
$70. 70.
But it tastes and feels like $70.
Yeah, it's a $70 liquor.
Yeah.
Delicious.
It is good.
And what do you think of the package there?
Very cool.
Nice.
Yeah, sharp. It's got a very satisfying pop sound when you pull that cork out of it. I always like that. It feels great in your hand when you pour it. Very stunning presentation. High Gold, by the way, was named after Christian High Gold, who was a German immigrant to Louisville in the 1850s. And it's a nod to the Germans were the one that basically bought the malted rye component to this. So, all right.
I like the etched rabbit. That's a nice little touch.
Yeah.
A little subtle touch right there.
And all right. So – that's good.
Mm.
Blowing through this stuff. I like contests. All right, next up, our final in our top five in the Tournament of Tippling. To tipple is to drink, Gina.
I love
it. I learned that recently.
I know that now.
We got Glen Grant's 18-year-old single malt scotch. You guys remember this one?
No.
Unapologetically expensive.
That never came to our house. I would know that.
You didn't get this. This is $135 a bottle. Now, of course, when we're factoring in the price, you have to understand this is an 18-year-old single malt scotch. The master distiller, Dennis Malcolm, is a legend. He was born on the distillery grounds. He began his career at Glen Grant 60 years ago. He is the longest-serving distiller in Scotland, the guy who makes this. The entire production of this whiskey, from barley to milling to bottling, happens at the distillery. Too much for you?
Really put some hair on my chest.
Yeah, well, it's a...
Prove it. Gina, I'm being serious. This never showed
up. No, that does not look familiar.
Okay, I was going to say, though, never had this one.
Yeah, this has a little bit of a finish that comes back through your nostrils.
Yeah,
a little wasabi vibe.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like you bite in a wasabi and then it kind of comes, the vapors come up through your nose.
This is a substantial whiskey. I mean, there's no denying that. I mean, I really like the look of that bottle too. It's got that modern Victorian look going on. The scotch itself, you get raisins, vanilla, pear, apples. I'm getting toasted almond on here.
Wow.
This isn't a scotch that I would necessarily think you're going to make a lot of drinks with, but if you wanted to, you could do a scotch and soda with that or a Rob Roy, which is just the scotch, vermouth, and Angostura bitters, you know, which is delicious. It's a Speyside whiskey. That's the section of Scotland that produces the most famous scotches probably. And it's really good. I mean, I just love this whiskey.
I think it's for whiskey lovers. It's kind of weird. I find a weird aftertaste to it, but maybe that's what whiskey lovers would like about it.
Really? What do you mean by the weird aftertaste?
What do you get? Mossy? Peaty?
It's like real guys who love cigars. They want like some strong Honduras cigars. They don't want like light
or like
cigars.
Right. Or, super beer nerds want like, you know, the Saison, the super sour.
It's like this is for hardcore
people that
guys.
You're not. This isn't going to be for neophyte. You're not going to start with this,
right? And remember, every 99% of the time we've had drinks on this show, we've opened it up with a couple of drops of water or put an ice cube, so everything's going to feel stronger.
So this is the kind of thing that 80% of the population wouldn't like as much as the rabbit hole, but then 20% would like it more because but a seasoned hardcore.
Well, let me ask you this: when people come over, when you're entertaining,
mm-hmm.
do your guests generally, if they're drinking liquor, would mm-hmm. Do people generally gravitate towards scotch, or are you serving more lighter spirits?
I think everyone's drinking vodka these days. Like they're just putting vodka in. So I think because of the whole kind of dietary, whatever people are doing, like they're taking the spiked seltzer and they're dumping some vodka and some ice in it, and you know that kind of stuff.
And tequila, I think right now might be the hottest. Agave, actually, mezcal and tequila probably the biggest growth out there. In
anecdotally,
terms of
I'd agree.
And I, you know, with the tequila, I mean, when it starts getting warm, and we live here in Southern California, there's nothing quite like, you know, you can make it. I make margaritas all the time. I make that with the Ocho, actually, where you just – limes are everywhere out here, and you get some – and just get some agave syrup, and that's it. That's all you need. And
well,
it's
I think the story is everyone's drinking everything, which is to say, you know, you take these – you know, when I was younger, people drank tequila to get fucked up at the park, you know. Nobody drank gin. Nobody knew what rye was unless they were listening to American Pie, the song. And even then, we didn't really know what it was. Like, it was pretty much vodka and beer. And it was like, and and then, you know, you want a burger, you go to McDonald's. So it's everything is getting spread out and all this niche everything, which is good. Like, this is the pageantry of life.
Definitely.
That song drives me crazy, by the way, because he says, good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Rye is whiskey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Get it right, man. And speaking of gin, by the way, you brought up gin. This is kind of incredible. You know who's guesting on my show soon?
Who?
Snoop. Clearly did not hear the segment. Because I was telling people, I go, of all the things that we've had on this show over the years I've been coming in, I don't know that anything caused such a visceral reaction, you know, negative reaction than in Indigo.
It's a cultural thing. It'd be like us smoking menthol cigarettes and enjoying them. It's a cultural thing, number one. Number two, I had a bottle of Snoop's red wine the other day, and it was delightful.
Really?
Snoop's got a red wine.
Yeah, it's about $19 a bottle, right? It was cheap.
It was good.
What's it called? Wizzy?
It was
19 Crimes.
What is it?
19 Crimes?
19 Crimes, yeah. It's Snoop Dogg Wine. It's a Snoop Cali Red.
Was good?
Wow. And it was good?
So you can tell him that. And tell him his main man, Mayonnaise, said hi. That's my rap handle. Because it's white, you know what I mean?
Call it
Mayonnaise with a Z? Come on.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Call it basic. Call it ignorant. I don't like this.
You don't like the whiskey?
It's not for me. I'm not enough of a whiskey
aficionado. It's pretty hardcore.
Aficionado to appreciate this, let's just say.
Yeah, but I thought you liked it when we had it before. Maybe we were.
I swear to you, I've never had this.
But remember, like I said, we had it with ice in it, or we had it with water in it. This is very potent.
This is sort of like if you're into seafood, you might be into octopus, but if you're kind of a fish and chips guy, that's your seafood. Yeah. Then this is a little dramatic. Like this is advanced.
I'm gonna throw it away.
Good stuff. Does it really bother? How much does it really bother you when we dump stuff? Does it really upset
crazy.
You?
I need a
glass back.
Listen, I think we're done.
Brian's not there in front of him.
I told. Let's see. Yeah, I don't like wasting anything. It's booze, it's plastic, it's food, it's whatever. Here's me. My daughter will make avocado toast for breakfast, mm-hmm. right? She has some sort of technique where she carves out half an avocado, spreads half of the half on the avocado, and then the other half is on a paper plate where there's just smeared avocado on the paper plate. And I know at 8:30 in the morning, if I open the trash can, there's going to be a plate with half a half, a quarter of an avocado on top. Ugh. I'll pull it out and eat it, or I'll feed it to Phil.
Right out of the trash.
Right out of the trash.
Good for you.
It's a Seinfeld episode. Yeah.
Sitting on the top of the trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do.
Who eats avocado?
Wait, if it's sitting outrageous. On top of the trash, it's touching the lid.
No, it's just it's one of those drawer
oh,
types.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Gina.
Open air.
I'm your freezer at the now, top of the fridge.
I found one that was 2 days old in there, and I gave that to Phil,
right.
And then I kept the fresh one for
Got
myself.
It.
Adam, your trash has a lid on it.
And a step pedal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's built in. But, yeah, I don't waste anything.
Man, I'm
God
like
bless.
You, man. I during quarantine, you know, especially towards the end, we all get back. I've had friends over, and I have a lot of alcohol at my house, and sometimes I'll get just this much left, right? Just a tiny bit. And if it's, let's just say it's tequila, it's not even enough for a drink. So I will take that one and pour that in, and then take another bottle because I don't want to just throw it. It's like it's not even enough for a drink. Right? I can't throw it out.
Wait, so what, you kiss
it.
The ketchup? What do you? Oh, you just
marry
drink it.
I'll pour that and marry it with another another gin or another whatever. Yeah.
The greatest adult tip I ever got was from Olga the nanny, who I would buy the glass bottles with the cream, the heavy whipping cream, and the little glass bottle.
I do that with every bottle of cream.
And she said when you're done with it, just dump a little hot coffee in it, snap the lid back on, and shake it all up. Gets the cream at the top to loosen up and come down. Gets all and then just dump it in your mug.
All the time.
I do too. Satisfying.
Isn't growing up poor great? All this shit we did. Just think about big kids that grew up rich. They're like, this cream.
But there's a market for it now because they're life hacks for like the mommy bloggers and their life hacks.
What are you talking about?
Nothing to do with money. It's just a weird thing. Yeah. It's why whenever I play a theater before I go on stage, I shut all the lights off in the green room, in the dressing room. Shut them all off because I'm going to be on stage for 90 minutes. No one's going to be in here.
You're acting like Mr. Wiltern over here.
Yep,
What about bottles? Because we have had, I'm looking at the Ford's bottle, for instance. What about when you get a really cool looking bottle? Does that bother you to throw that out when it's done? Like, do you feel like you want to keep it for another reason?
Aesthetic.
No, because also that is a monument to your alcoholism. You know what I mean?
It's keeping like the bottles.
Every prostitute you've murdered, you're going to keep her panties hanging from your rear view.
Come on, Dan.
Think so. First off, you wouldn't be able to see through the windshield. Secondly, every time you got in a car, it'd be a sobering reminder of what you did at night.
Dan,
there's myriad
your head.
Problems.
Yeah.
Myriad
All right.
problems.
You're like, man, he's got a lot of flour arrangements going on here and bottles of alcohol.
Yeah.
I've thought about doing that before because there's that. Remember the Clas Azul bottle, the tequila bottle that it's blue and white?
Right.
Oh, yeah, the tall
one. Like, that's hard to throw out because it's just,
I have Crystal Skull vodka that's never been opened. It's just so cool to look at.
Yeah, that's a great Dan Aykroyd spot.
Yeah, I never tasted it. It's got the seal on it.
Yeah, that's a good bottle. I can't throw that at you. I have a bunch of those at the house, the skulls.
Is it good?
It's good vodka, yeah. And you got to get him on the show, man. He's an amazing guy. Like I've had him on my show, and he's very passionate about that vodka.
Let's do it.
Very passionate. And they've had a lot of offers to buy him out. Doesn't want to do it. Wants to own the brand, you know.
Wow.
I mean.
He's I don't know if he's probably my favorite SNL guy just because.
Ever?
Wow. Well, I kind of grew up with him.
No, it's a great choice.
And I always loved his precision. Mm-hmm. Like when he was doing the
Irwin Mainway.
Bag
of glass.
But he was great with that. But just his little stuff, like when he would do the swinging Czech brothers.
The Fest Drunk Brothers.
His accent was so much better than Steve Martin. Steve Martin was doing an over-the-top kind of weird caricature, like way goofy. Yeah. He was doing an accent. Like he was doing
like
something.
He's a technician.
Yeah, he's a technician. I always thought, or even when he'd be doing the like bass-o-matic or something like that, he was a technician.
All you need to know is how great he was in Trading Places. He went completely square and was nailed it. It was perfect.
His timing, I mean, probably the best delivery was the Jane, you ignorant slut.
Right. Sure.
Just the way he delivers that line. And the other one that I love is the Bass-O-Matic 76.
Yes.
That was real, by the way. I talked to him about it. That was a real bass.
You couldn't fake it. He dropped it
right in. He dropped it in. He then he drank it. Yeah. I was like, wow. Guy's a legend. Put the whole bass.
All right.
Should we give you our scorecards?
We should get you our scorecards.
Yeah,
our scorecard.
Am I doing
math
here?
We should write our names on it, right?
Total them up for me because, you know, I'm not very, not good. I'm not smart.
Totaled.
I did it as I went. All right, let me tell you about 1-800-Flowers.com. Attention, last-minute Mother's Day shoppers. There's still time to be mom's favorite, but you got to hurry to 1-800-Flowers.com. 1-800-Flowers has you covered with amazing deals on Mother's Day gifts, from bouquets and plants and even gourmet treats as well. I'd recommend a bouquet. They sent one over here. I told you, it's been a couple weeks. It's still going strong. Beautiful roses. And whether it's roses, lilies, daisies, all blooms from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and available for same-day delivery to ensure freshness. So let's get going. Remember, Mother's Day deals are going to they're going to end soon, so let's order today, right, Dawson?
Remember, Mother's Day is this Sunday, so take care of all your gifting needs with 1-800-Flowers.com to order last-minute Mother's Day bouquets, arrangements, and gifts. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Adam. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code Adam.
Dan is living out an actual nightmare of mine, having to do math quickly.
The problem with this segment is now coming out. I can't add, and I'm, Chris is going to do it.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the news, and we'll give you the winner right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grass, the face on TMZ, Joe Biden, Kamala, meet news with Gina Grass.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, some really horrific news. While we're drinking.
Dan is approaching the bar.
He sure is. At least 45 people were killed and more than 150 were injured in a stampede at a religious festival in northern Israel. And I have the video from it. So medical officials said this on Friday. It was one of the country's deadliest civilian disasters. It's just thousands of men pushing, and it's like a sea back and forth. It's just
45 people killed.
Yeah. So the stampede occurred during the celebration of Lag BaOmer at Mount Meron. That's the resting place of a second century sage and mystic, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This is a Kabbalah thing. I didn't really grow up with Lag BaOmer, but it's a little more religious. So each year, tens of thousands of people, mostly ultra Orthodox Jews, gather to celebrate the rabbi and traditionally light these bonfires. And what we just looked at was literally people spilling down this open-air corridor amid what appeared to be this cacophony of sounds and alarm sounds and people getting carried with the crowd.
Yeah, you have to think about 45 souls in a place that's like 1/50th the size of the United States.
Yeah.
You know, it's a percentage thing. Like, it's a big deal. I wonder if any bulls want to run with them. Like, turnabout is fair play.
Oh, wow. A
couple bulls.
It's our turn.
We're in red scarves. Decided to get in on the action.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm always, I don't know. Religious stampedes is weird.
It's weird.
Yes.
And like I said, I mean, we certainly didn't grow up with that. But, you know, it's like any super fundamentalist or super religious, whatever they're doing, it's not something the rest of us can relate to.
Does this happen annually or regularly, I guess?
I think it happens annually.
That's crazy.
To pay the respect to this rabbi, and then it's a pilgrimage.
But this surge of humanity.
I mean, Lag BaOmer happens every year.
Wow.
We haven't had one around here for a while. We had that Who concert a million
AC/DC
years ago.
Concert, yeah.
Oh, right.
Oh, there's an AC/DC one?
People got trampled at an AC/DC concert back in the 90s.
Well, that soccer game, that was the worst one over in England where they crammed everybody in. 100 people died. crushed.
Oh, really?
Got crushed to death. It's a great documentary, the 30 by 30 about it. But basically, just kept letting people in.
Yeah.
And everybody was put in. Everybody just kept pushing, pushing, and literally killed 100 people. Got crushed to death inside a soccer stadium.
It's kind of a weird modern day death. You know what I mean?
Like
it's the kind of thing. It's the kind of thing you think we would have worked out 40 years ago. Well, what with all the technology,
But think about
it's just like wristbands and hand stamps and temperature checks,
common courtesy.
Maybe the vaccine passport.
Yeah,
you know, things that just slow the.
Every year this happens at the doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving night, and people don't die, but people do get trampled at those, you know, Target, Kmart, Walmart.
Are the deals that good?
They're doorbusters.
What does that mean? I don't even know.
Definitely
what
not a Jew.
Great. I have no idea.
I think you should stay away from all things that are potential trampling situations.
Agreed.
Now, look, if you want to go to the soccer game, fine. Go to the fucking Skybox.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Well, I told you guys, when I was in high school, I was at a KISS concert. Of course I was. And I was in the front row, and people started pushing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, literally, like, I was stuck. And this security guard pulled me out by my belt buckle. I was much thinner then.
Mm-hmm.
And literally pulled me out by my belt buckle because I was getting crushed against the bars.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Well, no. I went to the Capitol in January, and should not be.
You said too much.
Sorry. Friends,
Gina, I'm guessing the answer is no for you. Adam, probably no. Dan or anyone, have you ever charged the field at a sporting event?
No.
Gina, I know.
You mean like
the team
after
won,
the win?
And we're rushing the field.
No.
I don't mean like a streaker situation.
No, I just mean like that's a college football kind of move right there.
I did that in 99 at USC when they beat UCLA.
I'm surprised more people aren't injured by goalposts because when they get them, first off,
those are deadly.
You have all the people hanging on them, like up top, like we got to take the goalpost down, and then you have everyone underneath who could be struck by goalposts.
Seems dangerous.
Yeah,
I just think the thing that freaks me out is golf because there's a level of trust,
mm-hmm.
and maybe because I'm not that great at golf, but when people line up and
gallery.
Those guys hit that drive,
yes, you're asking
all
a lot.
I think to myself is, what if?
Yeah,
just what if Bryson DeChambeau just is having an off day and he hits that 200 mile an hour drive.
Well, what if he gets stung by a bee in the nape of the neck, like right as he's going forward and just shanks it?
You're dead. You would be dead, instantly dead.
A baseball will kill you and a golf ball will put a hole in you. If one of those guys got the big berth up there and you were standing 20 feet away and he just completely shanked it.
It's
a weird one.
Well, I think golf fans are weird in general. I was watching golf over the weekend and I think it's funny when they shank the ball, though, on their drive. And the people that run to the ball, they don't work there. They're not part of the tournament. And they all run to the ball and put their hands out.
It's a golf ball.
Right.
Don't touch it. It could go off any minute. You know, like, and it's like, who are these people?
Well, two things.
Relax.
I still want to be the guy who screams, get in the hole after the 22-foot putt that Tiger Woods does, like 10 inches after it leaves his putter. Get in the hole! Like, I want to be that guy. Once.
Yeah.
And the ultimate in ballsy fans.
Shit, yeah!
European rally fans. The guy is the guy's in a fucking fire-breathing, turbocharged Audi Quattro, whatever, and he's sideways coming around the corner in Scotland. And you're standing there. There's no barrier. There's no cement. You're just standing in the middle of a field, and it's fucking raining, and there's mud all over the windshield, and the guy's got the windshields going. He just caught air 10 seconds ago coming over the hill, and now he's completely sideways. And he's got his foot flat out, like the car's just drifting and all tires are being. And you're standing on the outside of the curb, just standing there.
Leaning in, trying to get a high five.
Yeah. What's the race at Isle of Man?
Isle of Man.
I watched a documentary on that. And there are people right on the side of the road. And these guys, they're going,
crazy.
Why do you care? Like, Jesus Christ, it's so nuts. Like, who would want to die? Imagine if you die. That's how you die.
Yeah.
You go to watch
like
a race.
Yeah.
And you get killed because you weren't content to sit in the fucking stands.
Well, they had, Lamar had 80 people die in the stands. in like 1955 with like Mercedes.
Well, didn't the tires used to come off too?
That's Final Destination. That's Final Destination.
Was it NASCAR? The tires would fly off and hit people.
They had Ferrari got brought up on manslaughter charges because a bunch of people died during the Mia Miglia. The Italian road race thing. The Italian road race one is they'd go right through the center of town on cobblestone at 110 miles an hour, and people be sitting on the sidewalk like drinking a coffee as they went by. We used to have a different relationship with death.
Oh my God! Well, remember hockey when we were like hockey didn't have the nets behind the. It was just the glass. Yeah, like you know these guys are you know Brett Hull's hitting 150 mile an hour slap shots, and sometimes they would go in the stand. It took. A little girl got killed. That's Jesus. When they finally went, you know what? Maybe we should put some nets up here since
I'm starting
this
to think
thing,
about it.
Back then, it was, you know, just didn't care.
The goalie didn't have a mask. The goalie was, he's like, I can't wear a mask. I smoked during the game. That was probably the original argument for no mask. How am I going to smoke? I got to stand here for 2.5 hours in a frozen pond I can't light up.
It was a special time.
It was a special time.
Jarts. Remember jarts? Remember that? I was just talking about this the other day. Remember they were lawn darts?
Lawn darts. Yeah.
Oh. This was an actual product that they sold ostensibly for children.
Yes.
Heavily weighted darts that you give to kids and let them throw them.
That's true because a famous grad family story, since my dad was the oldest of five, one of those getting stuck in my uncle's chest. Because they were whipping them at each other. It was 50s Chicago. That was good, clean fun.
Did he get
don't even think he went to the hospital. But he was like, what, guys? What?
We have
and
the
– he didn't see it.
Sorry. We have the scores ready.
Oh, okay. You guys ready? So should I just declare the winner?
Started up from fifth to first.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Work the drum, Dan.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming in at number five, probably because – Brian seemed to want to torpedo this brand with his scores.
I didn't enjoy it.
He brought it down. I'm just going to say he brought it down a little bit. Was the Glen Grant 18-year-old single malt scotch was our number five.
Well, I think at $120 a pop.
Yeah, $135.
That was probably part of it.
We're not man enough for it.
And again, I'm qualifying this by saying it comes in fifth, but it's one of the best things that we had. Just
well,
not
no doubt.
Today. Just I'm not
sure
today
we,
for
not
you. Okay.
Ready to appreciate it.
Coming in at – we had a tie for – so I guess would that be four or three?
Three and four.
I'm so bad at math. We had a tie between the Dos Madeiras 5+3 rum, double aged rum, and the 2020 Tequila Ocho Plata Rancho Loma tie.
All right.
Now, if I say number two, that's going to give it away. So
that's
I'll just say the winner. Can I get a drum roll? Can I ask for that? After all, I've been on the show enough.
I didn't get a lot out of that rum. I got to tell you,
I love the tequila though.
The winner, the first annual Corolla Show Tournament of Tippling is Rabbit Hole High Gold Bourbon with an average score of 23.25 out of 25. I mean, almost swept it. And then obviously coming in in second was Forge Gin. Simon Ford will no longer be making cocktails for Adam.
Well,
after this.
Forge Gin for $25 a bottle. You're not gonna beat that. I just happen to like the bourbon.
The rabbit hole.
That rabbit hole
my
is
six
awesome.
For taste on the bourbon.
Well, also, bourbon's meant to be consumed as we're consuming it. The gin, you don't just pour just room temperature into a glass and drink it. I wouldn't say it's unfair, but it's made for mixing and ice and everything else.
It's a great choice. It's delicious. I hate to break it to you. I think next time we're going to do the worst spirits we've ever had.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Tell Snoop.
I mean, was there any besides the Snoop that we – I'm trying to remember if there were any that really – I remember we did a wine segment and you called – we had a
– Oh, Prosecco or some shit.
You called it the Coors Light of wines.
How
you made the mistake of bringing Prosecco into these hollow grounds.
Yeah, it was bad. I apologize.
I hope you'll realize it.
Yeah, when you don't like something, there's no there's no subtlety in your. Yeah.
Don't get him started on race. Go ahead, Gina.
All right,
that's far off there.
Josh Duggar, that name sound familiar with
the Duggar family?
19 kids and counting. He has been charged. Receiving and possessing child pornography following his arrest by federal agents in Arkansas.
I would argue I mean, not that he was charged with this, but like if he molested three of his kids, if you have 19 kids, that's a pretty good ratio.
That's the vast minority.
That's a solid ratio.
I'm glad you brought that up. My postscript to this story, let's just skip right to the end.
No.
Duggar co-starred with his large family from 2008 to 2015. However, that show was canceled after Josh was accused of having molested his underage girls, his sisters, including several of his sisters when he was a teenager more than 10 years earlier. He admitted to having done so and apologized, explaining that he'd since spoken to authorities and received counseling. So he molested his sisters.
Are they weird? Do they? I mean, that weird religion going on with them.
I think they.
Got to be something,
I think they
right?
lean Christian.
No, I think he just dug her.
Oh,
get it?
Oh, you did it. So
he's
been charged by indictment with receiving and possessing child porn, one count each. If convicted, he faces up to 20 years in prison and fines of $250,000 for each count.
How do they know though? Like, I mean, I'm just curious. Did someone turn him in? Are they? How do they know? I'm asking for a friend.
So
obviously, yeah. But
I don't think or claim to know if this particular corporation was involved in this. But let us not forget from To Catch a Predator, the company that helped solve these crimes was called Perverted Justice. Mm-hmm. So there are companies like that that will help facilitate, you know, grabbing these things off the dark web. I have no idea.
Well, shouldn't there be some sort of an algorithm, I would assume, on the internet where if someone is downloading child pornography, it raises a flag somewhere?
I would imagine it does.
I think that's out there. I think we need to start implementing that thing where they say, like, before you send that tweet, just wait 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then if you still think, but you're probably not going to think it was a good idea. Everyone needs to beat off before they go trolling for porn. Like, you just got to just knock one out. Okay. Just squeeze one off. Yeah. Take a little of the wind out of the sail.
Wait, are you saying we're supposed to eat before we go to dinner?
Yeah, I'm saying.
I'm not sure I understand that. I'm
what I'm
jerk
saying
off
is,
before
if
I
you,
watch the
if,
porn,
if you think,
then why am I watching the porn after?
If
that?
You think it's a good idea to go on the internet or the dark web or someplace like that, and you go, I'm going to start looking for some child porn.
Oh,
go in the bathroom, toss one out,
and come back
out and see if that's if you still think it's a good idea.
Right.
That's all.
If you think it's a good idea, I think you need to take one for the team and go in the bathroom with a gun. You know, if you're thinking about children and sex. But yeah, in terms of, I mean, I watch normal porn, but I don't jerk off before I watch it.
You know? Yeah, no.
Maybe they have cuddle porn. Do they have cuddle porn? Like you jerk off and then you watch.
Oh, like spooning?
You can cuddle afterwards.
No, but that's a category.
It's a good idea.
I think that's what Hallmark Channel is for.
Is it?
I think that's what they do.
My thoughts on porn are always this. I don't think the women who are in the porn get to decide what category they're in.
Oh, yeah.
But at some point, they got to look themselves up.
Mm. Right.
And it's like hefty MILF and they thought it was busty nubile.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they present it as
real
like young and busty.
Real look in the mirror.
Because the category don't lie. You know, they will tell you at Pornhub. They will let you know what category you are in. And there's like plumpers and milfers and like, you know.
It says plumpers?
Probably.
Wow.
I'm saying
I wouldn't know if to ask the Duggars.
There's a lot of stepmom and you know, there's old and there's fat and you may think you're in busty, but you may be in fat.
Right, and
that's
chubby.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah, they will tell that category will tell you.
I have a friend speaks volumes about the type of people I hang out with. Who said her friend wanted to get in porn and so reached out to me because obviously, right? I know
porn.
And said, can you help her? I actually do know somebody in the porn business. And this friend of hers is 25 years old. And when I reached out to the friend, I sent him the pictures and he said, she's too old. 25. There's no in between. There are young girls and then there are the famous porn stars that age into MILF territory, but the 25 to 35 area,
no man's
there's
land.
Not enough demand for those women. So
it's already washed
that,
up.
That probably tells you a lot about
what's
going
like
on porn.
Cars. Wise. There's new cars and there's vintage cars. No one wants a car from 1992.
Yeah.
Or
exactly.
A girl.
You want a Dodge Stealth from 1992? No, thank you. Yeah, that's what it is.
Great point.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little more Armie Hammer.
Shit, yeah!
So One of his family members is set to provide details about the high-profile family in an upcoming limited docuseries. This is according to Fox News.
His brother Navy's piping up.
Casey Hammer.
Ah, shit.
Stepbrother Coast Guard. Speaking of porn stars, Casey Hammer.
She is the granddaughter of Armand Hammer and Army's aunt. She's reportedly signed an exclusive deal with Talos Films through the production. They haven't found a home yet, but she signed the deal. The co-founders describe it like this. The Hammer family history is like Succession on steroids, Brian.
Oh, come on.
A dysfunctional dynasty with its male characters exhibiting all the devastating consequences of privilege gone wild, Brian. Now, for the first time, Casey Hammer will tell not just her story, but the definitive family history, leaving no stone unturned. With new unfolding revelations and present-day consequences, this miniseries will provide audiences with a riveting journey into a family where reputation is everything and where things are never how they appear.
All right. Well, take this in the spirit in which it's intended. If you sat my sister down and said, tell me 10 things about Adam, 11 of them would be a lie. Like, you should be wrong about everything. Every story, every recollection, ever. This one time he said during Thanksgiving, it would all be wrong. And she's not even lying. That's just how
what
it
she
works.
She remembers.
That's just, chicks don't remember things as they were. They remember things as how it made them feel. So everything is how I felt during this time, which is never an accurate way of describing this. She's going to be off about everything. It's all going to be horrible.
Would you be angry if your sister could talk about
Army Hammer's past more accurately than his fucking aunt could. I guarantee you. And I've never met the man.
I met him once at Kimmel,
and I just walked up to him in his. He was in his dressing room, and I said, hey, tell your brother he was awesome in Social Network.
That's funny.
That was it.
By the way, Casey Hammer has a book called Surviving My Birthright. So she's really milking this
thing. She's really going for it. Yeah.
It's none of it. None of it's going to be. You can't trust any of it.
Oh. Family's great, aren't they?
They're the worst.
When you get famous, I mean, do you think really famous people sit back and try to identify which family member's going to betray them ultimately? You know, it's like, who's going to sell me out?
It only takes one book deal for them to throw the entire family or one, special or one discovery miniseries for them to just completely destroy the entire family.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Boy, I'm looking at the first couple pages and she is really, she's still setting the scene with her cold driveway and flapping curtains. So I don't know where this is going.
My grandmother talked about what a piece of shit I was into a camera
while I
was alive and doing fine. Like, all I did was become successful and get onto cable.
And she bring
was
her cake.
Talking shit. I brought her fucking cake and she was talking shit about me. I mean, imagine if I'd eaten someone's rib or molested somebody or something.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little Elon Musk on SNL. This is confusing. I would love your help.
Is he coming on or did he do it?
No, he's next host. Next this coming Saturday.
He's coming on to host.
Correct.
This
so SNL cast members won't be forced to appear alongside him.
Is he that controversial?
They're calling him the controversial billionaire, according to Page Six. So confusing.
What are his stances that are so inflammatory?
Let's just go through some of this because, again, it's very unclear.
Fuck woke comedians. Like, just fucking go tell your jokes.
Well, apparently he tweeted, let's find out how live Saturday Night Live really is. And cast member Bowen Yang wrote, what the fuck does this even mean? Writer Andrew Demiskus.
There's this whole thing where it's like, we have to declare war on all successful people because he's a billionaire and he's whatever. Fuck that kid. I saw that too. It's like, you're 26, dude. You're lucky to be on SNL.
Yeah.
It's probably a little higher, a little ethnically hired, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to have a diverse cast now.
Have they ever had an Asian cast member before now? I don't think so.
But why are you talking shit about the upcoming host?
Steve Forbes has hosted. Donald Trump has hosted. I remember Andrew Dice Clay back in the day.
That was Nora Dunn. And guess what happened to Nora Dunn?
Didn't stick around.
Done. Yeah. Next season.
That's right.
Did not get ass back.
See you, Nora.
That's good.
Thank you.
So Andrew...
I got that from Con Air.
That was real good. Said, the only CEO I want to do a sketch with is Sherry O'Terry. Is she a CEO? CEO? Okay. No, and AD Bryant retweeted.
Oh, is she about her initials?
Yeah, I think it was O.
Goddamn genius, Brian. Yeah. Well done.
Still got it.
AD Bryant retweeted a post by Bernie Sanders, and they're linking these together saying,
hold on.
Yeah.
No, go ahead and read to me. Then
it
I'm
is a
fucking
moral
launch.
Obscenity that the 50 wealthiest people in America today own more wealth than the bottom half of our people.
Well, first off, fuck you very much for being a genius. Like, sorry. He's a fucking genius. He's putting people on Mars. He's creating an electric car that's affordable for the fucking masses and saving you with all the global warming and everything. So first things first. You can't please any of these assholes. You cannot please them. This guy's revolutionized the electric car world. Maybe the I would argue that if you did a polling of SNL cast members, I would say the environment is probably their number one cause.
Top.
He's impacting that in a super positive way, and it's like, fuck him. He's making money.
By any measure, he's an international celebrity. I'd be interested to see like the last 12 hosts, for example.
But
he's
also
probably more famous than any of them.
You fucking dickheads are going to do with SNL what they already did with the Oscars. You're going to fucking woke yourselves right into hostless and no fucking ratings because you can't shut your fucking holes.
Yeah.
Do the fucking comedy. Get the fuck off the stage. That's the job. We don't need to hear about Bernie Sanders. We don't need to hear about it.
Well,
we don't need to know all
he's
this.
He's not the only one catching the flack because how could it go any other way? Miley Cyrus being blasted for signing up to perform when Musk's episode appears.
And by the way, when did all this shit become like supporting? Look, they could have had anybody host on that night, and then she would be the musical guest. Yeah. Why is this an endorsement of everything?
I don't know. But please help me understand this too, and maybe Chris or somebody knows what this means. That some fans claimed online that Elon Musk, to shit on the point you just made, is destroying the planet, and that he doesn't like women. Where has this headline been?
I don't.
Why doesn't he? What do you mean he doesn't like women? By the way, I haven't seen Adam this upset since Brian dumped out his rabbit hole.
I know.
Yeah, he's never been this worked up. Elon Musk loves women, right? He's with tons of them.
See, and that's something that I do. I think you guys are just goddamn adorable, you men. You know, you claim to be, and by all intents and purposes, you know, he is the biggest genius on the planet, and stuck with Amber Heard for how long?
Well, she's hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's sexy.
Didn't she have? Okay.
She's hot.
Okay.
So, first off, nobody is going to do what he has done without collecting a little history. You have to have history. You can't start so many companies. You know, they have to go, he did business with a battery company out of China. Yeah, of course. This is shit that happens when you're building rockets and cars and tunneling and shit. Somebody's going to have some business that's with some country that you don't like, that made something that you don't like, that hurt the environment, where this whole sort of thing where you connect this thing to this thing. Is he a net positive or not for this world? That's my whole thing.
Right.
Is he paying taxes? Is he creating jobs? Is he creating technology? Are we glad he was born?
If he finishes that tube thing that shoots you up to San Francisco in 30 minutes, yes.
Hyperloop or whatever it is. Yes.
What's that like if that crashes, though?
And this doesn't make any sense. I literally just put in the words Elon Musk anti-climate just to see what the quotes are. And the first thing that comes up is Elon Musk, my top recommendation for reducing greenhouse gases.
Yes.
Why Elon Musk?
He wants to build a giant carbon scrubber.
Yeah.
His thing is like, you assholes want to stop having nuclear power plants and coal-fired plants and natural gas plants. You're fucking playing. The AOC's, their job, AOC's thing is just stop doing everything all the time. Elon Musk is like, let's figure out a way to fix it.
Right.
So we'll have our power, then he'll build his CO2 scrubbers or whatever he's doing, and then we can have our children can inherit a great Earth.
That'd be nice.
What the fuck? It's like all these fucking dumb people chiming in.
What makes you more upset, this or the Jeopardy guy story?
I got that.
Oh, the Jeopardy.
This
is the best news ever. It's the best news ever because racism is gone because we have to fucking find it everywhere. We gotta Where's Waldo it
it's so
for
crazy.
Everything. We have to find it everywhere. when obviously there was a time in this country's history where we didn't need to look that hard for racism. We just look out our front windows. Now we must find it.
This guy, by the way.
It's abundantly clear. He does one, two, and then he does three. It's just he gives the signals.
Well, they say three-time champion, three wins, and that's what he did. He put the three in, which is.
But he also did the first and the second in other episodes.
Yes. He says he's horrified.
He shouldn't be horrified. He should tell all these pussies to fuck themselves.
Yeah. He says, I absolutely unequivocally condemn white supremacy and racism of any kind. I'm not a racist.
He should never do that. This is the whole thing. This is the fucking game they bait you into. Now you have to backpedal and go, I'm not a white supremacist. Of course you're not a white supremacist. You were doing three with your fucking fingers like an umpire would do, or like what a shortstop does. You know, they go one out to the outfield, they go two-way. That's all. Shut the fuck up, pussies.
Devil's advocate, have you ever told somebody to get you three this way before?
That's how I do it.
Is it really?
Yeah, because this is actually the heart of my finger, so I always do like this.
I've
just never said like, yeah, three.
That's how I do it.
So anyway, he's blasting white. And also, what's in it for him to blast white power
signs? All those white power Jeopardy lovers.
All right. Well, it's good news because I think they had the Navy cadets do a stupid thing. There was a whole hubbub 2 years ago where they had a big picture after the Army-Navy game, and they did the same thing, and then they had to do the fucking investigation because there's more white power. But lo and behold, it's nothing.
Because this
isn't an issue, everyone, but everyone wants to turn it into something, which is great because it doesn't really exist, and we're fighting tooth and nail to make it something.
By the way, Chris says that both Yang and Brian's posts have been deleted on Twitter. But are things not A-OK anymore? Can we not do that?
All the time.
I don't know.
This is a bad thing? You can't do this?
No, I don't know.
I think the upside down one is like...
What's her name?
Adi Bryant.
Shut up, everyone. Do your fucking job. Ugh. All right. Let's bring it home.
I'm
angry.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Shit, yeah!
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
It's such a... Well, here's the problem. The whole problem is we... self-esteem movement. Mm-hmm. We made all these young fucks feel like their opinion needed to be shared with everyone. Back in the day, no 30-year-old would want to coach up Elon Musk. Like, you wouldn't feel like that was within your power.
Right.
You'd be like, fuck, I'll get fired. He's a genius. I'm a fucking idiot. I'll get shit canned. Like, why are you advertising this? That would have formerly never existed. And also, where's the context? He's some genius, makes electric cars and rocket ships. He's tunneling through the Santa Susana Pass. He's hosting on your show. Why do you have to fuck with him?
You might find him abrasive, but the controversial stuff flies over.
Well,
his
and
head.
It's like, how could it go any other way? California literally said, go fuck yourself. And he said, understood, and left. And now SNL says, go fuck yourself, understood. Like, how many enemies do you want to create?
I'm skeptical, though, that it's. You also have to consider that the possibility that they're just doing it. Because guess what? I'm going to watch the show. I haven't watched SNL I'll probably watch it next week. And maybe they're just doing this to drum it up.
They're doing a great job
for the show.
Because I really don't know what the problem is.
Now you're thinking like the Kardashian mom.
That's right.
All right. Let me tell you about LifeLock. Yeah, tax season is scary enough. Now the IRS is warning about ghost tax preparers who don't sign paid preparer. And could be a red flag there. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cybercriminals could harm your finances and credit. Good thing, there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. You'll have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam for 25% off.
comedian Ian Bagg, funny man, is going to be joining us tomorrow. Dan Dunn, What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, available wherever you get your podcast. And Instagram, The Imbiber, as well. You can go to AdamCarolla.com for the live shows. Jam in the Van is coming up May 22nd. We'll do it live. Maybe Dawson will do a little set at the top. He's ready to go. And Golden, Colorado coming up, and Royal Oak, Michigan coming up, and Kansas City, Missouri coming up. You just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows and our chassis channel. 687. We have all the stuff there. Pluto TV. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Dan Dunn, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo. I'm going to start looking for some child porn.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Catch Gina Grad on the podcast Easy Listening with Teresa Strasser and Paul Bryan on the Film Vault. And the rest of us on the water cooler. For books, movies, and more, tickets, everything, go to AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.